Hello, this is Lex, and welcome to the Next Step Remote podcast, where I have the pleasure to interview some of the best remote work experts from all over the world. In each episode, we cover a topic, success story, or challenge to help you make remote work work. Enjoy. To give you a little bit of context, this episode was recorded back in the summer of 2020, so please bear that in mind. Enjoy. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, boys and girls. In pretty much every episode of the podcast so far, we have mentioned company culture, no matter the guest nor the topic. It is an area I am very interested in and do a lot of work with my clients, so I may have inadvertently and unconsciously led the conversation that way. Nevertheless, I think it's a topic worth exploring, and I have just the person to talk to, Ryan Chartrand, the CEO of X-Team, who leads the vision, strategic roadmap, and culture that attracts thousands of developers to want to join X-Team and be part of the most energizing community of developers. And he's been doing this for decades, long before COVID. Ryan, welcome. My usual first question, where are you in the world at the moment?
Awesome to be here, first of all. And thanks for the invite. And currently in the world, well, I guess if we're talking COVID, I'm in the number one hotspot. Maybe we lost the title, but here in Arizona in the U.S., we've held the title for a few weeks, though, of the worst COVID hotspot in the world. But yeah, staying safe, staying healthy, and staying indoors like we have been for more than a decade anyway.
Good man. I'm glad you're keeping safe. I didn't realize that you are in a hotspot. Is that recent, or we're recording this in at the end of July? How has it been in the U.S.?
Yeah, so I mean, it's been about 2 weeks. It has been considered the hotspot. I think just the last 2 days, we're starting to curb the trend. So things are starting to look better. The face masks are coming out finally. So hopefully my neighbors and local colleagues will get their game together here.
That's good. That's good. I'm based on the other side of the pond in the UK. We are going through kind of changes, easing of lockdown and all that stuff. But there's already conversations, not just in the UK, but throughout Europe, about the second peak. And will it come? Will it not come? How are we going to manage it? It's an interesting concept. I know in Germany, for example, they've had little outbreaks, and they've been containing them into local lockdowns of cities and areas. And I think that's, if we do have a second peak, that's what's potentially going to be happening.
Yeah, well, I definitely hope it turns out better for you than it did for us.
Fingers crossed. Let's hope that we can all kind of move past this and create our new reality in whatever shape, form that might be. But anyway, COVID, important topic, but I think even more important topic that has come across as a result of COVID is company culture, because I think a lot of organizations have moved from offices to remote work, sending their people home with laptops and Zoom accounts and all that, have potentially been struggling a little bit because some of the issues that they've had that might have been have gone unnoticed in the office have all of a sudden cropped up, being trust, being collaboration, communication, and so on. Of course, there are different circumstances here that we have to take into consideration, the anxiety and the stress of basically a global pandemic. But nonetheless, I'm fascinated by the topic. And we've connected a few months ago and been bouncing ideas, and I've been following X-Team for a while. And you talk some really, really good stuff about company culture. So first of all, can you tell us a bit more about X-Team and what you do, how it works? You know, what's the setup? Paint a picture for us.
Yeah, so X-Team, like you mentioned, we've been fully remote for more than a decade now, and we build these high-performing on-demand teams for companies of really all different sizes, from startups up to, you know, the enterprise, and we basically act as an extension of these engineering teams at these companies like Fox, Riot Games, who makes League of Legends, Coinbase, Sony, all sorts of cool companies. And so we help them scale quickly, and that can be an amazing thing to be a part of their journey as they're trying to grow. A great example is a company called Beachbody. Here in the US, they're one of the biggest fitness companies, and as part of the work from home economy, they've been needing to really scale up because everyone's trying to work out from home now. And so it's been cool to be a part of that journey as they keep growing faster and faster. So that's the cool thing that we can help provide. And the way that we're able to provide that is, I think, via company culture. We knew from the very beginning that in order to create a fast scaling development company, you would need to have an offer to those people to make them all want to join. And so we focused 100% on culture, on creating the best possible community for developers. And what all developers want is growth. I think you could technically say that about anyone in the world. We all are human beings that want growth. We are not just human beings. We're human becomings. We're trying to always become more and grow. And so, we focused a lot on growth and creating this community centered around growth and being the best at it, especially for developers. And so that's really worked out well. Over the last decade, we've built this community. Its reputation has grown and grown. And that's what we focus all our time on is how can we make the remote work experience very growth centered and energizing, really.
And slowly starting to unpick that. How do you do that? Because I've spoken and worked with a lot of organizations of different sizes, and there tends to be this, I don't want to say stigma, but this perception that company culture is very, very difficult for large organizations, that it really only works and you can create that community, family, or however you want to call that feeling, only with a smaller team, 10 people, 50 people, kind of. Some people say it's 60 or 80 or something like that.
Well, I mean, my favorite way to first dive into that, kind of the piece of culture is hard remotely, is I always like to reference things like, you know, World of Warcraft or Linux or any of these online communities that have existed for decades and have built some of the most tight-knit groups of people. There are people in, I'm trying to think, EverQuest, if you remember that game. I think that was the first game that I ever heard someone tell me, I married my wife because I met her on EverQuest. And so, I mean, there's just, to say that you cannot create incredibly strong bonds and relationships entirely through a chat box or through a video conference Skype tool, for example, is crazy, because people have been doing it for a very, very long time. And so anytime I see or hear people saying, oh, it's too hard, it's impossible to build culture online, they just haven't experienced it yet. And that's fine. But once you do experience it, and that's the cool thing, a lot of people join X Team, they're like, oh, you can do this. Like, this is really powerful what's going on here. And we can dive into sort of each piece of that, because I think there's a lot of pieces that go into how you create something that is powerful remotely, and you know, those games and those, you know, like open source communities, things like that, they've all done it in a different way. But in terms of specifically, you mentioned scale, you know, how do you do it at scale? And that comes down to really creating micro communities within the bigger community. And this is also something you see in the games and the open source communities and all of this, is that within any large, large community of thousands or millions of people, there's always these micro communities, whether they are based on geography, certain interests, teams. One of the things we do is we actually have broken X Team into these houses, kind of like in Game of Thrones. And the houses of X Team are something you sort of decide on when you first join, kind of like in Harry Potter, the sorting hat. And that's kind of your first micro community off the bat, is getting to be a part of these houses that do these friendly competitions and stay energized together. But it's your first moment to start building a micro community, a connection with someone else, and starting to feel that sense of belonging. And that's really what it comes down to, is your job as an organization, once everyone is distributed around the world, is to recreate some sense of belonging. And belonging is energizing. Belonging is something you want to wake up to every day. I mean, belonging is knowing that if once I get to my laptop and open it, there's going to be people there who want me to be there. There's going to be people there who understand me, people who share the same interests and values, and want to go in the same direction as me. And so the problem with remote is that it's a lot of, I guess the problem with a chat box, if you've ever been in a chat box, is it's very quiet. It's just there. And there's no sort of, like being in person where you're kind of forced to engage with one another because it's awkward if you don't. In a chat box, it's just no one cares. If it's silent, it's silent. And so what you have to do as an organization to create belonging and to create energy and to create a sense that I am in something more than a chat box, and I'm in something where I can see that these are my people, you have to find a way to get them to contribute to the chat box, to the Zoom call, to the internal portal, whatever you guys have. And that's, I think, where the majority of the work comes into play, is finding ways to do that while still respecting work-life balance, because you don't want to have anyone feel forced to contribute to the chat box. You don't want to have anyone feel like they're having to do extra work, like it's impeding upon all the freedom that you've promised them by giving them remote work. And so, again, that's a huge challenge. But that's, I think, what, again, going back to World of Warcraft, Linux, all these communities have found a way to say, this is your place. This is where you can do things that you love, do the things that make you feel alive. And we're going to help make this a place for you where you can do that. And so that's a big challenge for organizations today, especially the large ones. But that's kind of what we've been doing.
Fascinating, absolutely fascinating. And I've just kind of let you talk about it because it's a topic that I think a lot of people consider very confusing. They don't know how to approach it. And most of all, a lot of people don't actually know how to define company culture. What does that mean? And I think you painted a very nice picture for that. I don't think there's one definition of company culture. I think that it's very, very individual to an organization. And as much as a lot of people believe that you had this potentially different company culture for remote or in the office-based organizations, I actually partially disagree with that. I think company culture is maintained and built somewhat differently, but the values that underpin it are respective of whether you're co-located, whether you're remote, whether you're hybrid, or whether you're fully in the office. I'm curious because obviously you're the CEO of X-Team, and I'm trying to understand how much of a CEO's job, even day to day, is that responsibility. How much time do you devote actually to focusing and working on anything to do with the company culture at X-Team?
Yeah, good question. And I think it might skew a bit different for us because, again, going back to what we said is years ago, we knew the only way this company or this business model would work in terms of attracting all of the greatest developers to us is if we had the ultimate culture, the ultimate community, the ultimate environment for growth. And so since day one, that's kind of been my main focus, is making sure the people and that culture and that community experience is the greatest thing it can be. So yeah, I mean, that's pretty much, I'd say, it's hard to break it down into a percentage, but it's a vast majority of what I'm doing is contributing to that. So, and I don't know that needs to be the case in every company though. If I'm a finance company, should the CEO be fully invested in, let's say your QuickBooks, should the CEO be fully invested in working on culture all the time? You know, there's arguments that the CEO should always be setting the tone, setting the vision, setting what the culture is, and then acting that out. I think at the very bare minimum, your CEO should be active throughout all of these channels and expressing the values and living them out. Because remember, you have to be very intentional once you're remote. When you have the office, yeah, you can walk around the office and express those values and say hello to everybody and this and that. Once you just have Slack, you're like, well, I don't have to do anything because I don't have any messages coming my way. No, you have to still intentionally go into those channels. You still have to intentionally direct message all these different people and engage with them. And so that's something I'm always making time for is making sure that, number one, we're collecting a lot of feedback from people and then I can reach out to those people and talk to them about any concerns or even celebrate things with them. So part of it is also you making sure that you have the communication loop happening to where you know you know, what's going on in people's lives, and that's being fed to you. So you can go talk to those people still, because again, you have to be very intentional about everything you do remotely.
So you've been remote from the off. You were never co-located from day one. X Team has been remote.
Yeah, I mean, well, technically, day one we were all in a house in Las Vegas talking about what this would be. aside from that, yeah, no, I mean, we try to keep it as remote as possible. We do have things like these kind of like hacker houses that we do around the world called the X Outpost, and that's every month. Well, it used to be every month until COVID, but that's somewhere that changes every month, a location where people can go and co-live together and co-work together. So we'll do various things like that, and events and things like that, and some retreats and meetups. But yeah, definitely 100% remote in the sense that there's no office.
Yes, that's what I was trying to get at. And you mentioned all the events that you used to do, and hopefully you'll be able to do again very, very soon. X Team is very active on YouTube, and you've got some fantastic videos. And I'm pretty certain that the first time ever that I came across X Team was you had a chap that did a kind of a video where he's just talking to camera. I think he's standing in the jungle or some sort of forest somewhere and talking about what the name's get. I want to say something Silver.
Jason Silver.
Jason Silver, that's the one. And I straight away, it was like a couple of minutes long, and I was like, you're talking my language. I want to know more. And what you've got on there, that is something you call Seasons. What are those? Can you tell me a bit more about them?
Yeah, no, I mean, Seasons are kind of the, I'd say, the framework for our culture and our community. And I think if we want to start getting to like actual tactical information for people, you need a framework for how you're going to do your culture remotely. And I know using culture as a verb is kind of a weird thing, because culture is more of, you know, values and how we act. It's not an action, but when you are remote completely, it becomes a verb, because you have to do it intentionally. You have to constantly be doing things to stoke the fire of it. It's a lot easier in an office, and that said, it's never what I would want to be leading, because there's so much more potential for what you can do remotely. Anyway, I lost my train of thought there, but we were talking about, oh yeah, framework. So Seasons is the framework, and I say you need a framework because you need sort of a sense of, here's the things we're going to do, here's the things that we're going to repeat over time. We're not going to do everything exactly the same all the time, but we are going to use these as our sort of guiding posts of, these are the things we're going to keep doing in order to create the culture and stoke the fire. And so Seasons is our framework. And Seasons are made up of essentially 3-month experiences. And then we have a month in between for a break, because people need to long for it again. If you just do it constantly, then they don't long for it. So Seasons are our framework every 3 months. And they each have a theme to them. This theme that we're doing right now is called Not Done Yet. And it's this idea that, you know, 2020 has put us into a pit of demotivation and has tried to strip away this year from us in terms of growth. But we're not done yet. We are still human beings that want to be human becomings, like I said. And so we want to keep moving forward and pushing. And so that's what this theme is about. And so we then attach a bunch of challenges to challenge you to live out that theme, whether that's, saying, hey, I can't go watch a concert anymore, but I can pull one up on YouTube and blast my speakers and turn off the lights and grab a beer, but, you know, and it can still kind of feel like I'm at a concert. So it's not just laying over and saying, oh, I can't do anything because, you know, this is, we're just stuck at home. We can't do anything anymore. No, there's, if you get creative enough, there are things you can do. And so we create, you know, 100 plus challenges of ideas for them, and they can go take those. They earn our sort of in community currency called coins, and they can spend those coins on cool stuff. Like I got stuff around me, but they're all spoilers and we can't can't expose these to the world yet, but we everything from shirts, hats, and just cool collectible items that we've created over the years. And so then those become very highly coveted and people are always trying to earn those. You can also earn those coins by doing things in our events. We'll have an event every Thursday. We try to find the golden hour, as people refer to it, where you can get all of your people online at the same time across all the time zones. Bit trickier once you mix Asia and Australia into the mix, but you can do it if you find that golden hour for your team. And so, yeah, we'll have these events. The events can be everything from competitions where those houses are competing in races, like going out and collecting steps, or various Slackbot games that we've built over the years that really get people excited. Whatever it is that your people are interested in, focus on that. Talk to them and figure out what excites them and what kind of things they're into, and then try to recreate that in your culture and your community. And what else is in season? So X Outposts are part of the seasons as well. So we'll find three destinations per season and go and co-live and co-work in those places, whoever wants to go do that. The other cool thing about this framework is it's completely optional. And, you know, there's a piece for everyone. You know, I only need to maybe do one of those pieces to get my culture hit, to feel like I'm still getting that sense of belonging and being a part of that. And so, and then sort of the worst case scenario is our program called Unleash Plus, which is this $2,500 a year stipend that you can use toward anything that energizes you, anything that helps you live out that theme. Again, so if you're not done yet, then maybe that means you're not done exploring the ways that you can, sorry for the noise there. if you're not done yet, then maybe that means you can, find new ways to explore your surrounding community that you couldn't have done or didn't really care to do as much before. And so you want to get a bike, go get a bike, use that money to go get a bike, whatever it takes to energize you. And so there's always literally something for everyone. Everything is optional, but that's what a framework looks like. That's just a small piece of the view, high level view of what that framework looks like, finding things that we can do to give people, to empower them, to live out the culture, and to live out the community.
Well, as you were talking, I've had this image of pretty much an army of people that community builders, DevRel or however, whatever function they might play, managing all of this at X Team. Is that just yourself? It can't be, surely. You must have who's actually kind of pushing that framework, pulling that framework together, and getting people kind of to engage in kind of all the activities that you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a team dedicated to it, and the cool thing is, I was like saying that I think we're the only company that has their own game designers on staff that isn't a game company. Because that's how much we care about it. We've hired all the best people that can come in here and create the best possible experience in a remote environment. People who know how to create community online and have been doing it for years, and that's kind of the key that you need. So we've built a team around it, but at the end of the day, we could have the greatest team in the world. If your people don't take ownership of it as well, it's going nowhere. You know, if no one shows up to your events, if no one contributes to the chat box, you have nothing. And so really, when I think about the team behind this, it's all of X Team is making this thing come to life every day. So without them, it's nothing. And so you have to get them to take ownership. And the only way you get them to take ownership is to create things that they love, help them do more of what they love and what makes them feel alive. And that's where ownership always very easily kicks in.
Absolutely. I've been exploring this topic quite a lot, and organizations that I look at that have fascinating company cultures in whatever way you define that are very, very difficult to get into as an employee, because their recruitment process is very, very stringent, because they want the right people with the right, not necessarily skill set, actually, but the mindset, the kind of capability, to, as you said, to engage, to take ownership. They kind of have to be made from a certain mold that fits that organization. The one that I'm studying at the moment is called NextJump. I think they used to be an e-commerce organization and now moved more into kind of development as well. Don't quote me on that, don't remember, but they are ridiculously difficult to get into. But when you get in, their rule is you cannot lose your job for performance issues. They will coach you, they will train you, they will develop you in every way if you need that help. And as soon as you start getting comfortable and good at what you do, they'll move you to the next department to learn something different, to learn something new. So it's a fascinating company to study. And this brings me on to the question, without obviously going into great detail, how do you recruit people? How much focus do you put on that element of company culture, how they will fit in with what you've got and not upset the balance of what you got in the recruitment process?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, that's probably the most important piece, and why we screen for that first, is the culture fit. Because I think what's created the X-Team brand at this point in the minds of our customers, our partners, is the consistency that they get, knowing that they're going to get someone who comes in with a selfless heart, who comes in wanting to be proactive, not wanting their hand to be held, someone who is actively pushing themselves forward in all aspects of their life, personally and professionally. They're people who want to grow. And the cool thing is, when you have people who are always pushing themselves forward, well, they also tend to push their projects forward and their marriage forward and their local community forward. And so that's the cool thing, is that you end up with people that are driving your company forward. And so we're very particular about making sure we find those people, and that we're screening for that immediately right off the bat. And there's so many different ways that you can look for that and discover that. A lot of it just comes out in conversation like this. I mean, I think you can quickly and easily tell that I'm someone who pushes forward a lot with a lot of different things and wants to be on the edge of everything. And you can tell that from people. And so if we can't get that sense really quickly on and early on, then we just let them know this might not be the best community fit for you. Not only because performance-wise it might not work out, but just within the community. You know, we're not looking to grow for the sake of growing. We're looking to grow for the sake of adding more energy to our community, more of that forward moving energy, because that's another key to what makes a remote culture work, is that you're adding the energy that you need to create the culture that you want. So that's what you need to be looking for in every single interview, is does this person have the energy that we need to bring in here to drive our culture and our framework for that culture forward?
Absolutely. And I think that's the trick a lot of companies are missing. So I've interviewed for many jobs in my life and got many jobs in my life, and the onboarding processes I got, or even the interview processes, one of my favorite questions is like, tell me a bit more about the culture of the organization, about the values. And very often somebody would point to a poster on the wall, and I always wonder, if that poster wasn't there, would they be able to talk about it? Would they be able to talk about the mission of the organization? And it's sad. I have to say, it's very, very sad that we have these situations. I guess it's a bit of a relic of the past, where we used to go to factories and we just put in a shift and went home. And a lot of organizations sadly still work that way. Hopefully, if you and I have something to say about this or to do with it, we can change the tide. You are doing a fascinating job and a fabulous job with X-Team, and I'm sure that I definitely use you as an example to show to people that, listen, this is possible. Not only they are doing it brilliantly, they are also remote, and they've been remote from the start, so it is doable. You just need the right combination of things. One thing I wanted to ask you, because you mentioned energy and energize quite a lot, and I'd like to possibly understand, what is the kind of guiding principle, the North Star, the core value of company culture at X-Team? Is it to do with energizing people? How would you describe that?
Yeah, I think energy is a word I've become addicted with at this point. Because I think once you've worked enough years remotely, which we have, the one common thread of challenges as you look back on all those years is maintaining your energy level. And if there's anything that keeps a company moving forward and a culture and a community and all these things moving forward, it's having the right energy that you wake up with each day or that you summon throughout the day. And so the one thing I will give to offices is that there is a constant sort of energy that comes with them. You know, being around human beings, there's undeniably always going to be an energy. When you are stuck in four walls for a long period of time or many years, that energy starts to strip away and you have to find ways to recapture it. And it's entirely on you to do it. I think companies need to take responsibility for it. But at the end of the day, it's up to whether you will do anything with that support you're being given and do something to summon that energy, because I've seen so many people over the years not make remote work work for them because they weren't able to get over that hump of summoning the energy they need to be productive every day. And so that's, you know, when I think about building a successful remote company, that's the number one ingredient. And that's why I've become addicted to the word, because all I think about every day is how can we keep people energized today? What are we going to do for them that's going to give them this hit of energy today to help them move forward? And so just yesterday we had an event, which was hard to describe, but it was another houses competition. And you know, the energy that came from that event, it was about 30 minutes, but the energy, I rode that energy all day after that in terms of using that as momentum that I can then siphon back into my work. And that's it. It's finding, doing the things that you love, doing the things that make you feel that aliveness again is what you need. And that's what we used to get from offices, was that little hit of whether it's the water cooler or the, you know, going out to lunch with people you enjoy going out to lunch with, whatever it was, we used to get those hits and they used to drive us forward. And so the cool thing now is we get to make it anything we want. We're not restricted to whatever the office provides. We have everything. We have a whole local community around us. We can surround ourselves with the people that we want to be around rather than whoever our office puts us around. You know, we can do all sorts of things. We have so much freedom, but sometimes that freedom is just overwhelming and we don't know what to do with it. So the key for me is focusing on everyone's energy, because I think that is the number one ingredient to a successful remote company.
Couldn't agree more. Could not agree more. I'm very, very much a person that believes that you have to have the right vibe and the right energy, because obviously if you don't, everything's much difficult. Your mood is different. I'm very much into fitness and well-being. I'm gutted that I can go to the gym for the past 4 months, but that's been the reality. But that's what gets me pumped up, and my day is completely different when I start working out in the morning. And the day is, you know, you ride that energy throughout and everything seems to be much better, and you kind of have to get that energy from wherever it works for you, whatever that might be. I think one of the last questions is, as a CEO, what advice would you give to other CEOs when it comes to culture? Of course, remote or non-remote, because I think it's a universal topic. What kind of parting thoughts would you like to share?
Yeah, I mean, I guess of all the things, the one thing I haven't kind of touched on yet in terms of culture is, and it came to mind just talking about saying energy is the number one most important ingredient. There's actually one more that would tie with that, and that's empathy. And so if you're going to base your culture around anything, if you're going to put something at the core of your culture remotely, especially, it would be empathy. Because empathy at the end of the day is everything. It's what allows teams to work. Unless your company is one person and that's it, then you don't need empathy much because you're just dealing with yourself. But the second you introduce another human being into an organization, into a family, into a local meetup group, into anything, the only teams or groups or organizations that move forward together are the ones that focus on empathy. And in a remote setting, when you can't see people's faces, when you're dependent on emojis, when you're dependent on text, empathy is everything. And so the cool thing about what you can do with your culture is you can essentially do little empathy injections, is a term I'm starting to use, because, you know, you might say, well, all these events and X outposts and things that you guys are doing, it's all cool and fun and fluff, but is there really any business value to it? Oh, 100%. And it's an empathy. Every one of those things is an empathy injection, because, you know, there's always going to be people in any job where, you know, you have friction points with them, you have disagreements. But if you have empathy in between you two, you can actually reach an alignment at some point. But if you don't have any opportunities to create that empathy injection every now and then, you're never going to have that. And you need to maintain that. And so a great example is something like that event yesterday was a great way to come together with people who, you know, maybe we've had disagreements in the past, but this was such a cool way to remember, oh, wait, this is someone who actually likes the same things I do. This is someone who, you know, we get to have fun together still. And, you know, this isn't actually such a bad person after all. Maybe they're not out to get me. Maybe they're not completely against me and trying to hurt me in any way. It's an empathy injection. And that's what you have to intentionally keep trying to recreate and put into your remote culture, as well as your, you know, if you have a physical one as well. So look for ways to bring people together as human beings again, and you'll create those empathy injections. And when you have empathy, people move forward together.
Absolutely. I think one of the challenges that I see with organizations is that they, especially numbers-focused companies versus culture-focused organizations, they find it much easier to kind of lack that empathy, I think, because they are focused on the numbers, because they remove the human element out of it. It's easier to look at a balance sheet and say, well, unfortunately, we're going to have to let 50% of our staff go. But if you look at the 100 people that are standing in front of you in the room, that's a completely different dynamic, isn't it? It's a completely different feeling, completely different set of values that guides you. I think it's a topic that we could explore for hours, especially the empathy. I love the fact how you do the injections and it works. And especially in the last 4 months that we've had, empathy and understanding for the people who you've sent home from your office, that they have a world of stuff to deal with, from kids, from stress and having their partners at home and everything else, homeschooling, not to mention probably being scared, you know, senseless, simply because they don't know what's going on in the world, and, you know, it's a health pandemic, we don't know what's been going on and what's going to happen to them. So I think it's empathy is a big element, and so is the whole scale of emotional intelligence, which easily we can talk about for hours. Last final question: how can people get in touch with you? Do you want people to get in touch with you in the first place, I guess? But if they've got any questions or just wanted to say thank you for sharing your knowledge or buy you a virtual cup of coffee, how can they potentially reach out? Where can they find you, follow you? Apart from, I'll link to stuff on YouTube that you do, to some of my favorite videos, but apart from that.
Yeah, certainly look on LinkedIn. And that's probably the best place in terms of business related sage advice. I hope it's saved. We'll see.
Listen, it's been an absolute pleasure. When I started this podcast, there was a number of people that I had on my list that I want to invite, and you were one of them. And I'm really glad that I could get you on. I've got a feeling we might have you back again if you're willing, and to explore the topics of company culture and what you've been up to at Xteam in the future.
Absolutely. There's so many topics we could talk about. So look forward to it.
One more thing before you take off. If you enjoyed listening to the show and found it of value, I'd really appreciate if you shared it with your network and considered leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you might be listening to it. Also, if you've got any questions, any suggestions of topics to cover, guests to invite, please drop me an email on nextsteppodcast@human.pm. If you want to find out a bit more about Next Step Group, please visit www.nextstep.group. This podcast is produced and hosted by Lech Guzowski from Human PM. Special thanks to the founders of the Next Step Group, Christina Barger, Jelaine Chan, Stefan Dorn, and Matteo Grassi.